We're ready now. Our next speaker is Alexander Wert from IBM, and he will be talking about recent improvements in using NS4 ACLs with Samba.
Yeah, hello. Okay, so sound's working as well. Thank you for coming to this talk. My name is Alexander Wert. I'm working for IBM, in particular on our NAS stack, and I'm focusing on our ACLs, actually on the ACLs to try to improve that. And this talk in particular is about the recent improvements we made in the last year in this area, because I think there are quite a few exciting changes and a lot of changes compared to the years before. First, an overview what we did. I'm going to talk about the individual improvements that we made in the last year, and then I'm talking a little bit what are other and what are levers left to do in this area. And below you can see our legal disclaimer. And so let's start right into it. First with the ACL control flags. So we have our, the ACL control flags are part of the security descriptor in Windows, and they're actually used to break inheritance at a certain level of the directory hierarchy. And that's actually the box you can see in the ACL editing dialog there that's marked with a circle. And when you actually click this box, what it means that the ACLs below that hierarchy are not inheriting further. And if you change an ACL below that's inheriting the subdirectories, will not inherit past this directory. And this double protected bit, there was actually no way to store this with our NFS4 ACL module. We have an NFS4 ACL module actually in Samba, so that you can plug in NFS4 file systems into Samba and connect these. And the stackle protect bit actually didn't get passed to these file systems on the one hand, and the other side, the file systems didn't store this data. So first of all, what do normal people think when they actually hear stackle protected? Volker mentioned this last time. We had this nice screen. Actually, I had to add this one. And here we are. Okay. Start recovery. Okay. Not a friend of LibreOffice anymore. Okay. Pitch down. Okay. So far, so good. Okay. The stackle protected bit, it's part of the Windows security descriptor, and it's stored once per ACL. And there are other ACL flags in the same bit field there. That's auto-inherit and defaulted. And these are actually not visible through the user GUI from Windows. But interestingly, these bits are also part of the NFS4 1 spec. So the idea is to naturally use exactly the same bits from the NFS4 1 spec to store the duckle protected bit. And that's what we did. And we passed this through to the VFS modules and allowed the VFS modules, the NFS4 VFS modules, to actually store that data in the file system. And what happens now if we do have this, or actually what happens if you don't store this? If you don't store this, what happened last year was you just click on one of these on the box first, then a dialog pops up, tells you, do you want to add or remove the current entries? Usually the people are pressing add so that they have something to start from, and they want to edit these. Then they could edit these, but some people actually, now what changed is actually the box is unchecked and the ACLs are marked as not inherited. That's in the smaller circle. And some customers then actually try, okay, they want to save the current state, saying, okay, just press apply, check if everything worked. And once they press apply, because the data is not stored, what happens is that Windows heuristic kicks in and says, because the data, the ACL control flag is not stored, the Windows heuristic looks at the current ACL and the parent folder ACL and says, okay, it looks like it's inherited. And then it marks this checkbox again. And with the ACL control flags, this now works. It just will stay like this, saying, okay, it's not inherited. So that's pretty nice. And it's interesting to see that customers don't figure out that what they could do is they could edit the ACL so that this heuristic breaks and says, okay, it's apparently changed. So apparently the user doesn't want to have this checkbox checked there. Apparently because not all file systems support this kind of this ACL control flag. But yeah, we have a lot of calls saying, okay, why doesn't it work? And yep. Next improvement, that's very recent. So no propagate inheritance semantics are now implemented in GPFS 4.1, which had GA just 1 or 2 weeks ago. So what does this mean? There's one checkbox in the ACL control dialog, in the ACL dialog, below there to tell you, okay, is this permission that we are currently editing will only apply once to subfolders and not further. And you can only select this checkbox if you actually have marked this ACL entry as inherited. And if that happens at the current folder, here in the middle box on the right side, it says, okay, this folder is inheriting the ACL entries. Yeah, and on the ACL, if it's inheriting these ACL entries, when this no propagate entry is set in the subfolder, this no inherit entry disappears. Yeah, it's not actually part of the ACL anymore, and the ACL entry is still marked as inherited, and that ACL entry is also not marked as inheriting anything further. And then, of course, if you inherit, kind of create another subfolder under there, because that ACL entry was not inheriting, it's not marked, it disappears, yeah. So it's inheriting only one hierarchy down. And that works actually. On side note, yeah, here, that's actually the same thing. There's a small problem right now in GPFS 4.1 that should be fixed with one of the next PDFs with this inherit semantic when you have multiple ACL entries in the folder. But that's something that will be fixed soon. And overall, that's another future feature. Okay, the next thing we did look at were actually the NTFS permissions required to perform certain file operations. So what we did, we tried to find file operations that you can run from the command line, for example, to perform a certain task, and then look at what actual permissions do we need on these files to actually run these tasks. And on Windows, it's a pretty nice clean line. You can see, for example, if you want to list folders, all you need is to have the list folder permission. Yeah. And for example, if you want to read file attributes, you just need the read attribute permission and so on. And that looks nice and clean. And if we compared this previously, did the same tests against an older, for example, Sunbus 3.6, and in particular an older GPFS version, it looked like this. Yeah. All of the red boxes actually changes to the previous Windows version, where we didn't behave exactly like Windows. And what you also can see is that pretty much all operations behave different in some way or the other from Windows previously. And now I'm going a little bit into details why this was happening. And the first thing is that we didn't check the read ACL permission. Actually, the read ACL permission was required to read the ACL from the file so that Samba could perform its internal permission checks if someone is allowed to use that file. On Windows, because that's in the kernel will just check it. It doesn't return the information to the user, so the user doesn't need to have the permission to read the ACLs. And what we did now in Samba was one patch to actually become root if you are denied to read the ACL, read the ACL again, and then unbecome root. And this actually fixed the entire, all of the problems that we had with the read ACL permission here. Next thing, we had a bigger fix to fix the stat cache issues. What we had an issue is that the read attribute permission on Windows doesn't control access to things like timestamps or if something's in file or in folder. On NFS4, it actually controls the information to the stat information of a file. And because Samba tries to follow the Windows permissions and tries to follow Windows semantics, there was this clash, and that once we tried to actually figure out listen directory, for example, even when we actually listen directly, we try to do an fstat and set information didn't come actually back because we didn't have the read attribute permission, and then we didn't know if should we list or show the files. And we had even worse problems with the stat cache, and that is that Windows actually tries to keep a folder and all of the subdirectories. No, actually Linux tries to keep all of these parent directories in the inode cache. So it tries to have an internal stat cache to the current path. That's another problem there. And in these entries to the current path, these are required to perform some file system operations. And what happened now with GPFS was that another user came in, figured out, tried to access a file. He didn't have the read attribute permission for some of the folders in the path. And then GPFS tried to invalidate the inode in its in this kernel stat cache. And that, in turn, resulted in failed file system operation. And what's even worse is because of the Linux kernel doesn't actually have NFS permissions internally, and isn't actually aware that you could be denied access to some of the stat cache information, it doesn't kind of actually ask GPFS again if another user who would be allowed to access a file could access it. So in the end, it turned out that one user that didn't have the permission was allowed to kind of remove access for someone who would actually have permission to actually view a file and folder. And that got fixed by actually doing an additional check that we are saying, okay, whenever we try to revalidate access to a file, we would not drop it from the Linux stat cache. So once we have it in the Linux stat cache, we are not dropping this anymore, this access. And this way we can't actually remove access from a different user. And that more or less would have fixed all of these lines here. One problem remained actually that for the user itself, we still have that problem that on Windows, you can't do something. On Windows, you are not required to have the read attribute permission on all folders coming up to your current path. But in our case, when you're using GPFS as a backend, you still require to have the read attribute permission on all folders up to your current path, unless the information is already in the stat cache of Linux. Fortunately, it turns out that most of the time this information is in the stat cache, because if it's a common folder, like a home folder, then there was someone who already had access to it, and the information is in the cache. Then if it's an actual user folder in that directory, then of course the person who wants to access that user folder already has access to the user folder explicit access, so that works as well. And that's why I actually marked this one yellow here, because the problem is less severe. And what's most important, you can't get these flaky errors anymore that someone who has doesn't have access can remove access from someone else who actually has access. And that could actually lead to file operations failing that are usually not possible to fail, something like get pass, for example. So that one is more or less fixed. There's still some work to do here with GPFS. Okay, another problem we had is that we had a read data permission was required to actually access folders. Even for metadata operations, that would not require read data on Windows. And it turns out that it was relatively easy to fix. The fix was similar to what happens for the open file case, that instead of actually trying to open a file, we just say, okay, we are not opening the file at all. We're just saying, okay, the file handle is -1. And continue saying, okay, the operation succeeded, as long as the access mask says, okay, we don't want to read any data for this file handle. And that means that all the other operations, like for example, deleting the folder or actually changing the ACLs, that these operations don't require the read data permission anymore. That's nice. What still requires the read data permission is, we'll get to that a little bit later, is the actually reading of a file for execution. That box is still marked red here. Okay.
See what you're showing.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a problem. I don't have a pointer here. Well, okay. Yep. Kann ich das? Yeah. Okay. Next thing is fstat is run as root. I mentioned this before already. We have one change to actually run the fstat command as root now, and that really fixes mostly the listing of directories. So that when you have listing directories, on Windows, we need to figure out, is this in directory or is it in file? And to actually do that, we said, okay, it's not any valid or valuable information we're returning to the user that should be controlled by the read attribute flag in Windows. That's why we are doing this fstat command here as root, and then do an unbecome root and continuous operation. And that fixes this box. There's one more thing, that's the strict execute permission checking. With Samba 4, over Samba 3, there's an improvement that Samba 4 does a lot of more access checks based on the security descriptor. And one of these access checks is actually that it checks, does the user have the access execute permission in the access mask or in the ACL before it allows to run the execute file operation. So if the access mask is requesting execute, this will be checked in Samba now. And that's how this box got green. What still fails for the executing a file is that we still need to read data, because in our case, we still need to actually read the data of the file and the contents to pass it on to the Windows clients. Apparently, like this, that an execute implies on file servers that you could read data from file. I'm not sure what, but that, I mean, I guess that's natural that you have to read the data from the file to execute it. So if you put all this together, how change the permissions? What's still the problem is the execute part. And then we have all of these flaky, little bit flaky parts here with the read attribute permission. And these shouldn't be a problem for actual users, because once the user gets to the home directory, everything below that, he should have access anyway. So the thing looks a lot better than before now. So quite a lot of improvements for 1 year, I think. Okay, what else do we have? We have the out-of-order deny entries after change mods. This has been fixed by someone else. I'm not sure actually who actually did it. But we have one problem that if you do a change mod on GPFS or an NFS, and this change mod gets performed on GPFS, that to actually emulate how the normal POSIX mode bits behave, GPFS has to add some deny entries between the allow entries. So it's not like you have some 247, for example, it means you have 1, 2, say, okay, you have the read access for the user, you have a write access for the group, and everyone else gets everything. It's not like this. The problem is that in POSIX mode bits, it's not like owner, group, and everyone, it's like owner, group, and others. So others don't actually include in POSIX mode bits the file owner and the group that's listed there. And to actually simulate this and emulate this, GPFS would add these deny entries. And that's kind of a semantical difference. And we decide, or one, the easiest decision is to say, okay, we just drop this deny entry. Most users are not aware of this special detail anyway, or not rely on it. And also these things are relatively rare. If we wouldn't, these would not get dropped. It would actually result that Windows would complain that the permissions are not in the right correct order, not as expected order, because it expects that all of the deny entries are before the ACM allow entries. So by changing this, with this change, all deny entries that are coming after allow entries are kind of skipped. And so we don't get this warning anymore. Then we have another thing. That wasn't changed, I think, by Jeremy, by you. At delete child can file if all the permissions are set. The thing is that Windows, when all of the permissions are set in file in the access mask, then Windows marks says, okay, this access control entry gives full control to a certain user. And if you wouldn't actually add this delete, and delete child doesn't make any sense on files. So some NFS4 file systems don't actually store this permission. And to actually be able to still see full control on these file systems, what is happening is if everything else is set, then more or less this delete child permission is also set. So with this, the display is much nicer. It doesn't actually change anything qualitatively, but the display is much nicer. And if you really want, you can get the old permission, old behavior back when you edit the option ACL map full control, and you can get the 3.6 behavior. Yep, genau. And oh, right. This is, by the way, quite interesting. You might have cases when John Normal change mod, if you access a file system through NFS, doesn't set this permission on a file system that would support to store that permission. So if you have NFS 4, and even if the file system supports to store this bit, like in our case GPFS, that's still valuable because you can kind of override that and say, okay, if you want to, someone does an NFS, it doesn't change mode 777, you would expect to see full control in the permissions in Windows, and at least for the owner. And with this patch, this would also show full control for the owner. Okay. What else? We allow the folder owner now to edit ACLs. In Windows, the file system owner is always allowed to edit the ACLs of its own files and folders. And that's very useful because it will prevent a user from locking himself accidentally out of its own files. Once a user edits the ACLs or removes the ACLs that usually would grant him access to a file, that would be it. He would have to go to the administrator to actually get this fixed. And because that most systems, like Unix or Windows, I think pretty much everything allows the file owner to actually edit the permissions for himself, for its own files. And that worked well already for files, but it didn't work well for folders. And that was because of the previous problem that we saw that we always needed to open a file folder to perform metadata operations. Because there's a change to the permissions previously, that is fixed as well. So now the folder owner doesn't need to have this read data permission because the system wouldn't actually open the folder in this case. You wouldn't actually get the POSIX open the system call to open the file. You only would get the change ACL call or the change ACL call in GPFS, for example, and that call would get through because the file owner can always edit. File owner can always edit its own files. And this means a lot of less work for the administrator. And by the way, it's the same thing with this, that you don't need to open the directory. It should also help with if someone is running the ACLX, the VFS Xatra ACL module, because there previously would also have tried to open the folders, and I guess that would have failed in a similar way. Okay, that has, there's another reason why this is very valuable. You remember the previous case where I showed you have this DACL protected case, and if someone wanted to run into the first problem, he unchecked the box, he pressed apply, and everything was suddenly inheriting again, the checkbox was checked again. If he tried that a couple of times, maybe he tried something different, and instead of pressing add, he might press remove the next time. And customers pressed remove, pressed apply, and locked themselves out of their own files because of the second problem with the folders. And then they had to call the administrator. So that's fixed as well now. What else do we have? We have other changes. One older change is actually, but that this happened in the beginning of last year already, is that we now support creator owner ACLs with NFS4 file systems in this NFS4 mode simple that Ingo just mentioned. Then there were several documentation updates for ACLs in the main pages in the last year. There was a fix to the SMB CACLs, that's a spelling mistake, tool not to drop ACLs on a group change or a user change. And there's a new SMB XACLs tool to directly process XACLs. That's not strictly for NFS4 ACLs. But would be interesting to look if something like this could be made for NFS4. One difficulty is that the tool would have to kind of know what kind of backend to use and would have to know how to interact with GPFS, CFS, and all of the NFS4 file systems. And the previous change also was to have an ID type both in the ID mapping, which is also quite valuable for NFS4 in the same way that it's useful for the X address. that with this you can actually use kind of, with ID type both, you have the benefit that if you have a pure SMB system where you have only Windows users accessing your Samba with an NFS4 backend, with ID type both, you can use things like ID map and autoread, and these will store the user IDs then as with ID type both. That means they always store these as groups. And then you can get this algorithmic mapping back to SIDs. You don't have to store at any point if that's a user on group. And that's very useful because it, that's the point. It actually allows you to, you don't have to store if something's a user on group. And if you actually get a security token and you see there's an SID in there that is in this range, if it's ID type both, it will always be mapped to UID and a group ID. Actually, will be mapped to a UID and a group ID if a user is in that one of these groups, and then he will automatically have access through the group ID to ACLs that would allow him as a user access. So you don't have to, even if you're a user, you don't need to have an ACL entry for yourself in this case as a user in the ACL. You can have a group entry, and with ID type both, you are sure that once you log in, you get the right group ID as well, so that you, this ACL entry applies to you. So that was another change, makes it a lot easier if you are a Windows user who wants to have an NFS4 backend, but then you have another problem. You can't do the cross-border call part anymore, or not as nicely, because this ID mapping is auto-generated and is not part of the ID, of the Active Directory. So you can't use an NFS server, for example, to connect to the to your file system. And because ID mapping in there isn't in the AD server, so you don't know what IDs to use in your NFS clients. Okay. Next, remaining issues are, we still have an issue with the read and write attribute, read and write data attribute, read and write data permission actually in the in GPFS. And that's because if GPFS doesn't allow right now to have the write data permission and the append data permission to be different from each other. Okay, that's a completely different entry there. When GPFS doesn't have allow to have the write data and append data permission different from each other on files. And the problem is that if you have an inheriting entry, then this inheriting entry could easily have a different permission for these two things. And because one is to allow to create folders and the other is to allow to create files. And in this case, Windows will even deny to create these inheriting entries. Also, GPFS will even deny to create these inheriting entries. And that's a problem that's still left. And that's going to be addressed in the future. System ACLs, that's a broader topic where you have the audit and alarm ACLs. These could be fixed. One problem here is a little bit the performance because right now all the APIs only allow to get an ACL in its entirety from GPFS or set them in its entirety. So we would have to get all the ACLs, would have to pick out just the audit and alarm ACLs for unchanged and write them back. Or even worse, for most operations, we actually would have to get all ACLs. We would only have to change the normal DACL ACLs, the normal ACLs to allow and deny, preserve the ordinary alarm ACLs and store everything back. So that's a little bit racy, that's one thing. And the other thing is that it's probably a little bit slower than before. We still have to fix this execute permission part and the read attribute that's required. Even with bypass traversal checking enabled, actually, that's required at all in the pass. That's a problem. One change could be if you could try to get the X attro module running together with the NFS4 module, that would give you some benefits. I'm coming to that later. And dynamic ACLs, there's no good answer to that yet. One thing is for the stuck X attro module, that would be a little bit slower because we need additional system calls to actually run. The X attro module does something like it stores the entire security descriptor in an extended attribute. And why would you want to do that if you already store the security descriptor in FS4 ACL? You might want to do that because in the extended attribute you can store arbitrary data, and some appliances in particular use this security descriptor as a data store for metadata. And if you are allowed to store stacks as XATR module on top of the NFS4 module, you might be able to run these appliances together with Samba and an NFS4 backend. And what it wouldn't get you is any additional improvements in the permission compatibility, because these are all fixed now. Okay, what's left is a little bit. Any questions up to here? Jeremy.
What appliances are using the security descriptor as a data store?
Oh, I can't remember what that was.
I mean,
that was coming up 2 or 3 years ago, briefly, but
I've seen traces that do that, and the difference between our implementation and the Windows implementation is that we actually unmarshal and then remarshal, so we actually lose any arbitrary data that's sent.
Okay.
But good I didn't know that. So that wouldn't actually right now,
that
it wouldn't help with
help.
The XATR model,
okay.
Because we unmarshal and then remarshal. But I thought that was an implementation detail that I didn't know of any applications that actually used. I saw it happen. I've seen it happen. I think NetApp implementation just stores the raw data that's sent on the wire. And I know Windows does, but I don't know of any application that actually depends on using. After we saw it, somebody surmised that you could use the security descriptor as a data store, but I didn't know that anyone actually was. And I haven't seen any bug reports of anyone complaining that fails. So if you do have any data on that, I would really appreciate it if you'd log bugs, and
okay,
then we might find some way of fixing it for you.
I will have to dig through our bug reports what's the name of that appliance. It was something that was kind of tied in between the, if I remember correctly, it was something that like almost a backup appliance and was using this as a backend, was apparently storing some information in these things while it was passing the data on. Yeah. Installing extra stuff there, yeah. Some. I have to check, but I have to check if I figure out the name and pass on the information here. Okay, then I'm going to the last few slides. That I can't talk a lot about that, but I just wanted to show everyone this. That's a screenshot of what happens if you enable dynamic ACLs in Windows 8.1. What you get is in the ACL editing dialog in the bottom, you get an additional window, or additional section, that can be used to edit these conditional ACLs, and you can edit these additional ACLs and then ACL entries. You can press OK, and once you look at the ACL dialog, you will see that there's some field condition in here, and there can be, that's kind of a long string, and that's saying, okay, you have this condition set, and then set will be checked, and this, so it's several things that will be checked at once, and it can be very useful. At least I thought immediately it's very useful for a particular thing. You can, for example, do things like you are a domain user and you are at the same time, for example, this ACL permission grants access, for example, if you're a domain user and at the same time you are part of the remote desktop user group. And you can do that with an ACL entry, which more or less says, okay, you need to be in that group and in this group. And there's actually no way to do that easily without this thing. So the traditional way is to create another group, which is like domain users that are in the remote desktop user group. And to avoid creating all these groups, you couldn't do that with the dynamic ACLs. And it's actually quite difficult to map these back to NFS4. Actually, there's no actual way, because NFS4 simply doesn't allow to do that. And one option is we could drop these entries when we store them in NFS4. And another thing might be if Samba can actually process these entries, then doing something like having an XATR module to store these data in this XATR would help, so we can get at least access these data based on the exadron. But then we have the problem that we actually need the permission on the file itself to open the file. Yeah. So here, that's an open problem for this thing. And yeah, dynamic ACLs don't work yet. And are there any questions to the talk? Yes.
Well, it's kind of more like a high-level question. So it's great to see this work and like increasing interoperability. But I sort of was surprised to see that you're focusing on NFS4, which is kind of a protocol that was defined 15 years ago. Like, are you having any plans of actually going to 4.1?
It's a gradual improvement here. In particular, in the ACL area, there are some parts in NFS 4.1 that are not part of NFS 4. And for example, the tactile control flags, yeah, and all of the ACL control flags, these are already 4.1 features that are not part of 4.0. So these are moving slowly into GPFS. And we have the no propagate inherit flag, that's also a 4.1 feature. And that's pretty much it, the changes in the 4.1 area. I think the alarm and audit ACLs were already part of 4.0. I'm not 100% sure, but these are already also in GPFS, so you could also set this. It's just going to nowhere right now. And we don't have the right APIs because you usually would have an API to actually set and get these independently. In the NFS 4.1 spec, you have an way to get the duckle attribute, and you have an attribute to get the suckles independently from each other and access and write. So that part is also missing. But it's not like we're doing not a big step saying, okay, it's 4.1 compatible, but slowly features are creeping in. Yeah. And also the permission changed back then. 4.1 states you, the default permission is everything's allowed, while 4.0 says, okay, the default permission can be arbitrary for a file if no permissions are set. And also has been moved to the 4.1 behavior already. Yeah, Jeremy.
So for the audit and alarm ACLs, that's actually pretty easy to do. The reason it's not done yet is nobody screamed at us yet and said, we need this, it's a business requirement. Mm-hmm. So if you scream at us and say it's a business requirement, it should get done reasonably easily. But the interesting thing is the dynamic ACLs. So we can probably store those, as you mentioned, in Xadders and do the in-SAMBR evaluation. But if you can give us a way of storing, if you can map that somehow, if you're willing to extend GPFS to store those dynamic ACLs and evaluate them in kernel in the same way, then I'm very happy to work with you to push that data down into GPFS file system by whatever interface you might design. So that's, if you want those things, you have to ask, and we're very happy to do it for you. So just wanted to point that out.
I mean, that's definitely something we need to write up, what we actually need here from GPFS.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. Sits in the file system, store all of these things, are a different thing. And once we get to a point where the kernel is interpreting kind of the security, Windows security descriptor like semantics, says the wish list is quite long already.
I'm happy to go down and have meetings with Sven and Alvin.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who can influence the GPFS folks to do that.
Any more questions or comments? If not, thank you, Alexander.